Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. I've just done an interview that is really poignant. In the Lynette Hooker story, there are a lot of family members, and I have spoken to so many of Lynette's family, Brian and Lynette's family. Haven't spoken with Brian, haven't spoken with Brian's mom, haven't spoken with Brian's brother or his sister, but I just spoke with his stepmom. Her name is Donna Hooker. She was married to George Hooker, Brian's dad, for over 40 years. And he recently passed away, and she is heartbroken. She cared for him for years before he died while he was sick. And she said Brian didn't even bother coming to visit. She hadn't seen him in 4 years, since 2022. So there's Brian's dad dying, and Brian's dad's wife looking after Brian's dad. And Brian didn't see him for 4 years. And that has been heartbreaking for Donna, knowing that these siblings whom she loved, and you're about to hear, this is not an angry woman who, you know, was estranged from the family and has things to say. This is a woman who loved Brian and his brother Bruce and his sister Jennifer and adored their father George, adored George Hooker to the day he died just at the end of last year, and she is still in mourning. And now on top of all of that mourning and the loss of her husband, she is dealing with what Brian Hooker likely did. And we know that he lied because we now have the evidence. Our sources tell us that Lynette Hooker was dead on board Soulmate. There was no bouncing off the dinghy. It was all a big lie, all a made-up lie. Lynette's dead body was on board Soulmate. And Brian just left. There was no need to float across the harbor. None of that was true. And so now Donna Hooker is processing all of that. And something else that she said stopped me in my tracks. And that is that Brian Hooker, according to Donna, said something back in the 80s along the lines of, I had to have someone killed. Let me repeat that. Brian Hooker said to his dad and his stepmom, standing in their doorway, that he'd had problems in Hawaii when he was homeless on the beach, got into it with some bad people, and, quote, had to have someone killed. Yeah, I found that pretty jarring, too. Like, really jarring. And now we're learning that's being investigated. So Brian Hooker doesn't just have a Lynette problem. Brian Hooker has a Hawaii problem. Brian Hooker now has investigators in Hawaii and maybe even heading from America to Hawaii to investigate whether an actual murder for hire happened in the 80s at the behest of Brian Hooker. Because we know there's a murder investigation going on right now from 4 months ago. The murder of his wife, Lynette. And he is the prime suspect. And they have discovered mounds and mounds of evidence that prove he lied about everything he said in the wake of Lynette's disappearance. But did Brian Hooker also contribute to the killing of someone else? Decades ago, when he was homeless on the beach in Hawaii with his brother, Bruce? His stepmom, Donna, is bereft about all of this. Was bereft in the 80s about it, said it was destroying to her husband too. They could not make sense of what he said, and he was gone as quickly as he appeared in their doorway, off and running with his long hair and his anti-establishment views. I had an amazing conversation with Donna just now. I want to play it all for you, but just so you remember the names. Her husband was George, right up until just the end of 2025. Brian Hooker's father, George Hooker. She said she adored Brian Hooker and his brother Bruce and their sister Jennifer as kids, that they played, they were lovely, but that something went awry with Brian. Here now is my conversation with Donna Hooker. Donna, thank you so much for joining me on Drop Dead Serious. It's good to have you here. I've spoken
Thank you.
to several family members of Brian Hooker in the last 4 months since this tragedy began, and I haven't had a chance to speak with you. And you have a lot of history, with Brian Hooker. You were married to George, his dad, for the better part of 4 decades. What are your recollections of Brian Hooker that we don't know?
Well, Brian means that he came over all the time, and he was about 17, 18 years old. He was fine. He seemed to be fine. He would go and hang out with the kids and, my two and his brother and, just be basically normal because he came over with Bruce a lot and stuff. So, I don't understand what really happened, but he seemed to have changed when he got like latter part of his 18 into 19 on. He changed.
Is that the time that he moved out of your home and then moved in with his uncle?
Yeah. He
So
wanted to go every different places and stay, I guess, because we never kicked him.
he
We
didn't
always
kick out. He just moved on.
yeah, he just went to live with his he probably stayed with his brother too, or and Jennifer. So it was all the whole, the circle of family that he would do that.
That's his sister, Jennifer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Jennifer.
So there's Bruce and Jennifer and Brian. Those are the three siblings.
Yes.
And at some point, Bruce, his brother, and Brian ended up in Hawaii. And I don't know about Bruce, but at some point, Brian was, I think, homeless. Can you talk to me a little bit about that phase?
Yeah, Brian didn't like people. He didn't like being around a lot of people, and he didn't like society. Nobody could tell Brian what to do because that just would not, he just wouldn't go for that. On the other hand, Bruce was different. He wasn't, unsocialized, so to speak. Or whatever, but yeah, Brian just went the opposite way. He just grew his hair really long, and when he came to our house, that time that he got back from Hawaii, he got to, the only reason I know what happened in Hawaii is because he came to our house, unbeknownst of us. We didn't even know he was coming. We didn't know where he was at the time. And so he knocked at the door, and there he was standing there. And I didn't even recognize him. I was like, what happened to him? And his father was not a happy camper. He goes, where have you been? And he, oh, we were lit. We were on the beach, and we were just, living there. And he goes, you were living on the beach, bumming around. Yeah, that's what he liked. He liked it. But he got involved with some bad people. I understand from someone that lives in Hawaii that locals don't like people on their beaches sleeping and just hanging out. They don't like it. But they do have bad people. That will go on the beach, harass these people, harass like they were. Brian and Bruce were probably harassed by these people. Plus, they were involved with some people too, Bruce and Brian. They met these guys, and that how that goes. So.
Any idea what kind of people they met and what they were involved with when they were on the beach?
Well, the only thing that he said was some rough people, rough, bad people, guys. We have them everywhere, right? And like, I don't know if I'd call them a gang, but I wouldn't know how to say who they were.
Seemed like they
But he
were
was
like a
involved.
crew. Maybe a criminal element, any drug
Yeah.
dealing that you know of or anything like that?
I would say, because I know that I don't know, but I think that Brian and Bruce did some stuff. I don't know what kind. I don't know anything like that, but I do know that they were probably involved in some of that stuff too, and that's not good. And probably drinking.
Want to be careful when I say stuff. Is that the crime part or is that the drug part?
Okay, the crime part. The crime part is the people that he that were harassing them. Okay, the bad ones. Brian and Bruce were involved with some people, but I don't, he didn't say they were criminals or bad people, the ones that they had met over there. So, and probably drinking and stuff like that, just being
Did
who
you
they were.
get the feeling that maybe they were involved with drugs and drug dealing, and that can go sideways very quickly?
I don't know. It could be a possibility, but he didn't say. I don't know. I don't know that for a fact.
But he did say something that was quite telling. Walk me through that.
Well, we were all standing in the living room after George could catch his breath after seeing what he was looking at. And I'm sorry to say that, but it was not good. So he was talking to his dad about what they were doing, and they were hanging out on the beach, and they were, he said, basically having a good time and, just and sleeping on the beach. And my husband was questioning him about all of that, sleeping on the beach and meeting people and stuff like that. And he said, that's not good. That's not good. I mean, you look different, he loves being away from a lot of people and off the grid and things like that. So he was talking to his dad, and I was standing there and, just listening. And he told his dad that the people that harassed them, and I guess they tried to probably steal things from them and everything on the beach. He said, and I can't, I it's freaky. He said that he had to have someone killed. And his dad just kind of stepped back and he, what? You what? He says, I don't want to, he says, I don't, that's it. I don't want to go into it. I just wanted you to know. So that didn't really go over too big because we wanted him to leave.
He just stopped right there. He did not go into any further details after dropping that bombshell.
He did not. Because believe me, George questioned him and everything, and he wouldn't go into any details. He wouldn't let us know what, when, or how type thing. But he did say, that he did have to have someone killed. And I couldn't believe that he had to have someone killed. I don't understand that because we're not that kind of people. He wasn't raised to be a person like this. You know what I'm saying? He just wasn't. So I don't know. I don't know what happened to Brian, but that's what he said. And go ahead.
Did you feel as though he was speaking casually and that maybe he had suggested he had to have someone killed or that he did kill someone? Was he very specific about having someone else carry it out?
Yes. He said he had to have someone killed. He didn't say I had to kill someone. No.
What was his mood like when he was saying that? Like, was he standing there with his bags or was he seated and comfortable and not? I mean, was there any possible, any possible way it was misconstrued because he was busy doing something? Like, what was the circumstance in which he was saying these things?
I was hoping he didn't do what he said he had to have done. I was hoping that, and he never sat down because he was going to leave. He just stopped by to say whatever and hi to his dad and Oh, yeah, I had to have somebody killed. That doesn't make sense. Did he really do that? I don't know, because I don't have evidence of it. You know, I just know what he said. And, you know, I'm trying to get the truth out about what happened to him. I don't know, but from being a nice guy and a nice kid and everything, you know, but then he did this kind of thing, and Bruce wasn't with him. I don't know where Bruce went. I mean, he didn't come with Brian.
Brian didn't stay.
No, he didn't stay. He was in a hurry.
Any idea where he was going?
Nope, he didn't say where he was going.
How did you, George, you know, Brian's dad, George, your husband, all these years, how did the two of you process? Like, what did you talk about when Brian left, having dropped that bombshell at your doorstep?
Yeah, it was, we sat down and looked at each other and said, what did he just say? Do you really think, you know, do we really think, or do you, talking to my husband, do you really think he did something like that? And he said, I don't know. I'm afraid to really go into it. You know, I wanted him to go into it, but I'm afraid that, you know, something would have to be done. Like if he was telling me certain things about what happened, I mean, I know George would have had to do something. You know, we can't just let him talk like that and say something terrible. It's not right. It scared me. And to right.
The Brian that you knew, but was this the Brian that you could see progressing, and that maybe this next step was maybe not totally implausible, or it seemed so out of character for him?
It was real out of character. I think also because he said he had gotten, now, I don't know if he'd gotten involved with some people in Sacramento, but it could have, my feeling, it could have happened that he was involved with some people in Sacramento also. Maybe he was influenced. You know what I mean? He could have been influenced, and he just totally changed. He didn't want to live on the grid. He didn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He didn't, you know, that was it. So he went to live with his uncle.
I don't know what the relationship between Brian's dad, George, and Brian's mom, Rita. I don't know what that was like, but did George and Rita ever discuss this extraordinary statement that their son had made?
No. She didn't really want to talk about anything with George for some reason. I mean, they weren't, you know, it wasn't something that they hated each other or anything. They could have probably talked if, you know, but nothing happened there between them.
They didn't have a really acrimonious relationship where they refused to talk about their kids. Like, it wasn't that.
No. Oh, no. George was he was a good dad, and all three of them were the most polite kids. They would, they would like, okay, yes, ma'am, type thing. George wanted them to be respectful to people, and that's how they grew up, you know, or into their teens, I guess. But, and then something changed. But, you know, he never talked about it. Brian never talked about anything. Bruce wouldn't talk about Brian at all.
Really? Yeah. Like did they have a bad relationship, or did they have a good relationship? They didn't just discuss, you know, uncomfortable things.
I think Bruce and Brian, after that, kind of probably went their own separate ways, except they didn't really hang out. You know what I mean? They didn't. Bruce would come over and by himself. He'd be, you know, without Brian. And then, but Brian, he didn't come over very much after that. we had just bought a new home, and you know, I think he might have been over there a couple times, but Bruce came over with his girlfriend and everything, and we always had a good time. We had a pool and, you know, a spa and stuff. And
And Bruce
when
mentioned anything about this extraordinary statement that Brian had made about having to have someone killed in Hawaii.
No.
Didn't he never broach the subject?
No, never.
Do you think he knew and just avoided it, or do you think he truly just didn't have any idea?
I'm sure he knew and he avoided it because Bruce really wasn't that type. They were opposite, okay? They were personality-wise and everything. Bruce was a really like Bruce. I mean, he was polite and nice and you know what I mean? He's just I just don't understand. I
Why?
haven't, you know, I haven't seen Bruce since 2008.
Why is that?
He never even called his dad when his dad got sick. We only saw him at the hospital when his dad was going to go in for a heart transplant. And all the kids were there with their kids. And everything seemed to be good. Brian and Lynette were there, and they were quiet, pretty quiet. You know, George was going through, his kidneys were failing at that time, and he was trying to be talk to the kids and everything, but it was really hard, and he had all the grandkids in there, and oh boy. It was busy, but I
Wow.
think he really enjoyed it. And that is the last time he saw his son, Bruce.
And when was the last time your husband George saw his other son, Brian?
Brian, we saw in the second stroke. George had three strokes. The second one was kind of, you know, he looked kind of, I don't know, you know, droopy and he couldn't see very well and stuff. And Jennifer called me and wanted to come and see her dad. And I said, fine, you know, come up here. He'd love to see you, you know. And because he didn't get to see him hardly at all. So here she comes with Brian.
How long ago was that?
2022.
4 years. And our audience might not know this, Donna, but you have had a hell of a year, in so many ways. You lost George just at the end of 2025, still in mourning over the loss of your husband of how many years? 35, 36,
41.
41. Oh my God. I am so sorry.
I know it's heartbreaking because I'm still, you know, I still have anxieties and things like that, and you know, I cry a lot, but I can't help it, you know. I talk to him every day. I talked to him about Brian and I talked to him about all this.
Maybe the silver lining here, if there's any of it at all, is that George died before all of this with his son.
Right. It would be horrible if he, if, oh, it probably would kill him. It probably would because he loved his boys. He really did. And he didn't understand why they, you know, didn't come around and see him or anything except for that one time. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, he didn't complain. He, you know, I would get on the I would text Jennifer or call her and want to find out, you know, have Brian call us or something. It's the only way I could ever get a hold of either one of them was through her. So she would always relay a message. I know she probably knows where Brian is too.
Well, it's expected he's in Sacramento and spending a lot of time with his mom, and then every so often up to see his son in Oregon, where you are, and then also back in Michigan, where he's got a daughter. So he's moving around a lot. We know he's been in those three places multiple times since Lynette died. What's the relationship like between Brian and his sister Jennifer? Because she flew to the Bahamas right away.
That's not the only time she's been there. She and her husband would go there to see Brian and Lynette, and they'd take them sailing. So, but when I heard and actually saw her on one of the news things, that was her standing there waiting for him to get out of jail. And I guess they went back together. I saw Brian though standing in that line for the to get on the airplane, but I didn't see her. So maybe they went on another.
Do you think Jennifer had the same spidey sense that I had, that that story was crazy? And do you suppose that she was going to protect her brother no matter what the story?
At first, I'm pretty sure she believed all of it, because she's really close to Brian. They, do things. He comes over, he stays there, da da da. They're just so close. And Bruce too. He's close to Jen. And I think I tried to get a hold of her. I've been trying to get a hold of her. She won't contact me at all. And I don't know why, because all I want to do is talk to her and see what's going on, what does she feel that's going on and everything, but she won't talk. So I don't know how she would be right now and how she would feel and what, because of all of the evidence that they have now. So I don't know what she's thinking there. I don't know what Bruce is thinking either. I'm kind of, and the mother and Rita. So seems like Bruce has been there, Brian's been there. There's things happening there.
Feels like
And
you circled the wagons.
yeah. And I'm sure Jennifer's been there too. They've all probably had their talk, trying to figure out what is going on, trying to get Brian to tell him what happened. And he's probably sticking to his lies.
We're
So,
kind of hard in the face of the evidence when it comes out. What
yeah.
do your kids think about what Brian has said and done?
Who?
What do
Because
your think about what Brian has said and done?
my kids, Brian never fit in with them. Really, except when they were younger and they played football and stuff. But they just kind of went their separate ways and they never did anything together. They liked Brian. I mean, nothing wrong with, I mean, Bruce and Brian, they were, kids. They were together. They were,
You were
it
fine.
was, yeah. And so they're in pretty much shock right now. They don't understand. They could never in a million years understand why he would do something like that to his wife.
Or to
They don't
anyone.
understand. Yeah, anyone, right?
When you learned. Go back to the beginning. When you learned that Lynette was missing and Brian had said this sort of preposterous story that very early on did not add up, what was the first thing you thought?
When he was talking about the dinghy and Lynette. Okay. Yeah, I knew that was not true the very first thing I heard it. I knew it. I mean, people probably thought, oh, well, poor Lynette. What? Why didn't he go in and get her? And, da 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 da. Well, he didn't, because it never happened. And if he truly loved her and that really happened, he probably would have gone in the water and got her and everything would be okay. But he had other plans.
And you knew it right away. You felt the whole thing
I
was wrong.
felt I did. I don't
Kind of
know why, but I did. I felt, oh gosh, I would hope somebody would really find out. And one of the news people called me, and I'm trying to think of which, can I say it on which news? CBS. And they wanted me to be on for a short interview. And all I said to him was, if Brian did what they say he did, then he needs to come forth and tell the truth. I said, I can't believe him. With what happened, I just don't believe it. Lynette would never have fallen off that dinghy. She was not, God, she was an athlete.
He was a swimmer.
Yeah. Shallow. And 3 feet of water.
Yep. Yeah. The whole thing was preposterous. The whole thing made no sense. I knew it right away as a boater, not even knowing Lynette. I knew that story was garbage. Now,
right.
Donna, now it has been proven. My sources told me that it is definitive. The evidence shows that Lynette was back on board Soulmate and was dead on that sailboat.
Yeah.
Learned that. What were your thoughts?
Well, at first I was basically in total shock. I thought, if he did this, how could he do this? What possessed him to do something like this to her? But then I was thinking of the other things that he threatened her with, throwing her overboard, you know, stuff like that, her leaving him and coming back. And then probably if she told him she was going to leave again because she had the plane ticket to go back to see her mom, I think it was, but, and she told him that she was leaving because and packing up and going, he probably threatened her, I would think. I mean, this is, you know, my opinion, but I can just see it all happening for some reason. It's that he threatened her and probably said, you know, which I think Carly did say that he wished he had finished the job. And that's why she didn't, I think that's why she didn't go.
You didn't take that airline ticket that she bought March 11th, right? You think that maybe he had, I have a theory that maybe that's why the passports became a part of all of this, because why would anyone put their passports into a dry bag? And we know now that didn't happen. So why even make some kind of a ruse involving the passports? And maybe it's because he had taken her passport away and she couldn't travel. Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. I'm sure he did. He was, like I said, I was telling Joel, he's sneaky. He was pretty sneaky. And if he had choked her before and choked her till she passed out and threw her up against something to put bruises on her back, what kind of person would do that? You know what I mean? They've been married for 25 years.
It's despicable every way you slice this. Just knowing now that there is proof, there's evidence on board that Lynette was dead on board Soulmate, and that everything was a lie. That it was all made up to cover up for the fact that she was dead on board. What do you think now about Brian in light of all of this?
Well, for one thing, I really don't ever want to talk to him or see him ever again. And I don't want him to come to my house, which I don't think he would. But he's been to Oregon, and it wouldn't take him too long to get to my house. So, and I don't, he know, I think he knows what kind of person I am, too. I don't put up with anything like that. I don't put up with any baloney, you know what I mean? And he knows it. And when he was here, seeing his dad with Jennifer, I asked him if, I said, Brian, where's Lynette? You're always with Lynette. Where is she? We're separated. We're not together. I gave her my other sailboat. I bought a sailboat, but I gave her the other sailboat. She decided she didn't want to live like this anymore.
When was that?
And when he came up to see his dad in
2022?
20. I have a picture in my phone of them sitting in my living room with their dad. And long, he had his hair long again. He just looked terrible. He kept going out, outside. Then he drank about a six pack of beer and a half in the house. Didn't talk to his dad very much, and he was, smoking weed and everything. So it was really weird. And nowadays, I just knowing him and even looking at him, Ashley, I can't hardly look at him anymore. He's a different person. He's a totally different person, faking crying and faking all that stuff. He's faking everything. It makes me sick when I sit there and I see him and he's talking about, I got to find Lynette. I don't have my wife. Yeah, right.
Do you have a message for him?
I have a message for him. I probably would say, Brian, I have no respect for you anymore. If your dad was alive, it would be the worst thing in the world for him. And you, when he passed away, you never, ever called me. And Bruce never called me. And I got one little message from Jennifer saying she was sorry. So I cried. Oh my God. Even when I think about it, I just start crying because it hurts. Because, we were all a family at one time. And him changing like this is just, it freaks me out to just see what kind of person he just turned into. And he's non-caring. He has no emotion. He does not believe in God. He's an atheist. And he doesn't like people. And if he could, he'd live somewhere, which I don't know, somewhere in a cabin, somewhere maybe off-grid. I don't know. He wouldn't be around people.
Do you have a message for him in light of what's happened to Lynette?
Oh, I've had so many things in my mind, that I would say to him. And it's heartbreaking to think that he did that. And his mental state must be pretty bad in order to abuse her like he did and choke her and be mean to her. And I'd like to just say, why, Brian, why did you do this? You've hurt so many people and we need justice for her. And Darlene and Carly need closure big time.
What do you think of Brian now?
I just think he's a very non-caring, no emotions. He didn't contact me when his dad died. I mean, how did he feel? I was like, how do you feel about your dad? Why didn't you come see him? He was sick. I took care of him for 3 years. He got very, very ill and it was horrible. And you never, I would say you never showed up. You never offered me any help. You never did anything. And I just have no respect for him at all. And I really do want him to pay for what he's done. And that's something that you can't fathom in your own family that is close, my husband's son killed someone, his wife. Just doesn't make sense. And
no, he pretended something else happened entirely. What do you think happened?
I think what happened was they had their dinner at the Abaco and had their drinks. And when you looked, when I saw the video thing where Lynette was in one area and he was in the other area, and there were some people that I guess thought that something was not right with him. He was pouting or something. But that's what it looked like when I was looking. You know, I didn't quite understand that. But they couldn't have had an argument. And I think she did not like Brian to drink as much. I mean, I'm sure you could have a couple drinks and have a good time, you know. But I think it was not good for him to drink. It did something to him. You know how alcohol will do certain things to people. You just don't know how they're going to react. And so when they went back, they went together to get into the dinghy and to go back to the boat. And he made up all this because he had some plans. He had plans. He was going to do something. He knew who he was. I just know it. I just know he was, he had, you know, I don't know. He was mad at her. They were fighting.
Do you think he planned it?
I don't know. I think that why, well, he made up the story because, as you said, she was on the boat and she was dead by 8 o'clock. So between riding from the Abaco in out to this and then going to the sailboat, that wasn't very long. And they were had fight, they were probably fighting on the way home or on the way to the boat. And I think he probably choked her, and she's passed out. And he probably panicked too, because you know, I don't know. He probably just so, you know, the temper, you get so irate, and these people, these men strangle their wives. You know what I mean? And, oh, but.
But you think he killed her?
I do. I really do. I really think he killed her because he was so abusive and everything. And he was abusive to his second wife. But I really did have an issue crying over this and being stressed out because I lost my husband and now this has happened in our life. And it was something that I couldn't explain. I couldn't cope with it. I had lots of stress and I've been under a lot of stress. So
Donna, you don't deserve any of this. And I'm so sorry for the year that you've had.
I know.
Losing George, number one.
It's awful.
And having all of this, you know, happen afterwards. Yeah. My prayers and my thoughts are with you. And if there's anything we can do, you know, we're here for you. We're here for justice as well for Lynette. But I think in justice for Lynette, it is justice for you and the rest of the family as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ashley. It's just been so hard. It's like, you know, the things that I have had to do on my own, because I've had to do all the things that George did. And then I finally got a person, well, my son helps me when he comes, but I have somebody that comes and, you know, helps me. We have 3.5 acres and not all usable, but, you know, animals, deer and all that, you know, and I'm staying in my home.
It's not easy taking on the burden when your husband dies and then having this emotional burden as well can't be easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. And then because it's like you go into this depression where, okay, I've let everything go. I can't do that. I have to get myself together. I've got a, you know, I've got a house to take care of, and I got me to take care of. And a friend of mine called me, and they were, you know, of course, very upset about everything. And she says, "Let's go to lunch." I said, "Really? You know, I haven't stepped foot in a restaurant in 4 years or anywhere."
I hope you went to that lunch.
We went to lunch, and I ordered Eggs Benedict.
You deserve that and more.
Had a great time, and my good friend that lived here, her husband died right before George, so she moved to Idaho with her daughter, so I don't get to see her very much. So, you know, just things happen to people. You know, life is so short, and I don't understand why a person has to have that anger in him to do something like that to a human being, especially his wife. You know what I mean? And things that he had said back then, you know. So I don't understand. And I'm glad that Jessica got a hold of me, Brant's daughter, from his second marriage. And I'm just glad that I can be, you know, talk to her and be distracted about something. I talk to my cat, you know, I'm here and there's my kitty cat. I love him very much, you know. He hasn't left my side since his daddy passed. So he's with me all the time. So
give him a big cuddle. Donna, yeah. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Okay. And to us. I appreciate this, and be strong and just, you know, hold it in your heart that we're, you know, there'll be justice. There'll be justice for Lynette.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for. She was a really good person. Thank you, Ashley.
My great thanks to Donna, and my heart goes out to her for all that she's endured in these last 10 months. And imagine just having to put up with all of this now, this unknowing, the loss of Lynette, the possibility that her stepson did this, killed Lynette. I mean, you heard what she said. I really think he killed her. Brian, why did you do this? You've hurt so many people. It's just unfathomable to think of what Donna is going through. But justice is coming. I've said it before, and I will say it again, and I will say it often. Tick-tock, Brian. Tick-tock. And I will add this. If you know anything about Brian Hooker or what happened in Hawaii, if there was actually a killing like he apparently said to his parents, please reach out to us. dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com. dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com. If you know anything about Brian Hooker in the 80s alleging to have had someone killed, did he say it to you? Have you heard that he has said it to someone else? Do you know this story in Hawaii? Were you involved at all? Do you know who the victim might be, if there was one? dropdeadseriousinfo@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for watching. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It is drop dead serious.